In the context of the sex abuse scandal at Penn State, which cost coach Joe Paterno his job and maybe also his legacy, what happened to Rich Rodriguez at the University of Michigan might seem insignificant, but it opens another window onto big-time college sports. The Wolverines, who play their arch-rival Ohio State tomorrow, fired Rodriguez after the 2010 season, and the reasons why are well documented in a new book.
The book you have in your hands is not the book I expected to write. I started out thinking I was writing Rocky, the small-town outsider who gets a shot on the big stage. By the middle of 2009, though, the story had morphed into something more akin to The Shawshank Redemption, and there was reason to wonder whether Rodriguez would ever be able to escape his detractors. But when Rich Rodriguez's tenure as Michigan's head football coach came to an end on Wednesday, January 5th, 2011, I realized I was witness to the final moments of college football's Titanic. The unsinkable ship had just gone down.
That's author John Bacon reading from his New York Times bestseller, Three and Out, Rich Rodriguez and the Michigan Wolverines in the Crucible of College Football. John Bacon joins us from Michigan Radio. John, thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you, Sasha.
John, after reading your book, which is very candid, it's a warts and all look at what happened to Rich Rodriguez at Michigan, and at times he does not come off so well, and nor does the university. Do you have a sense of whether Rich regrets giving you the access he did?
I don't think he regrets it as such, but I do know that he's not necessarily thrilled with the book. I'll let him speak for himself. But when you're going to tell the truth about all sides, chances are, and the thing goes this poorly on all sides, probably no one's going to be thrilled with you. And I can assure you, Sasha, that right now no one seems to be.
I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, so I know very well, being from Buckeye country, what Ohio football, and in particular what University of Michigan football means to that state. But why don't you characterize for us, for those who don't realize, there is not much bigger in Michigan in a sense than Michigan football.
I would have to argue, and you being the Columbus native that you are, the horseshoe is probably the most famous building in the state of Ohio. And in the same sense, the Big House in Ann Arbor is certainly the biggest building in the state of Michigan, and it probably is the most recognizable also. And when Bo Schembechler died...
Bo Schembechler being the former Michigan coach.
That's right. He's the Woody Hayes of Michigan, of course, and the Joe Paterno of Ann Arbor. When he died, I'm willing to bet he was probably the most recognizable figure in the state of Michigan and probably the most popular as well.
One thing that's quite interesting about Rich Rodriguez taking this job at Michigan is that supposedly he never even visited Ann Arbor before he took the job. He just wanted it that badly.
That is true.
And at the time, he was really the hottest coach in college football. Why? Why was he so hot?
A year earlier, he had turned down Alabama, which had made him an offer, which Nick Saban has taken over to a national title. Why did he jump so fast? He was very eager to get out of West Virginia. The relationship there had broken down, even though that's his alma mater. He played there, he coached there. That state is a very strange one for college football. It is analogous to Huey Long in Louisiana sending in plays to the football team. This is what the governor did. He dictated Rich Rodriguez's schedule. Second of all, Michigan is Michigan. And his impression was, when you leave West Virginia, you leave all the drama behind. And at Michigan, all you have to do is coach football. He could not have been more wrong about that.
Now, he also left West Virginia under somewhat of a cloud because of this buyout clause in his contract there. Maybe you could explain that quite briefly and then give us your sense of how that affected his time at Michigan.
Rodriguez had a $4 million buyout if he left early, which he did. What people did not realize till the book came out is that President Mary Sue Coleman and Athletic Director Bill Martin at Michigan had promised Rodriguez in writing that if it came down to paying the full amount, Michigan would pay $2.5 million and Rodriguez would pay $1.5 million. But they asked him to keep it secret because the regents did not know about this and it would have been a big PR disaster for those two. So Rodriguez kept quiet about this and in the meantime had a gag order against anything that West Virginia might say about him in the meantime, and they were only too happy to pile on. So the PR for Rodriguez for the first 6 months could not have been worse on both sides, really. And that gets you off on a bad foot immediately.
More proof, really, that the cover-up is sometimes worse than what you're covering up.
Not sometimes, always. And let me also add on that one, Don Canham's great quote. He's the now late AD of the University of Michigan. He had a great line, and if Penn State knew it or Herman Cain knew it, they would all be a lot better off. He always said, never turn a one-day story into a two-day story. And at Michigan, in a microcosm, the same thing happened with the buyout and other factors. They never addressed issues straight on, clarified them, apologized if necessary, fixed them, and move on.
But Rich Rodriguez did get the Michigan job. However, he was not a Michigan man. Help us understand what that means and how it affected his time there.
It is hard to explain when you're not from a place like Ann Arbor or Columbus or Nebraska, say, or Alabama, how much passion they feel for college football and how the coach of your flagship university becomes not only the face of the university, but really the spiritual leader of the university. Furthermore, back to your earlier point of why it matters so much, really the front porch of the university is the football stadium. It is the one place where the state taxpayers, which picked up the bill for the first 100 years, felt welcome. The university would not have grown the way it did without Michigan football. So whoever you put in charge of that better understand the gospel and know how to sing it. So when he shows up, the first press conference, they ask him the obvious question. Do you have to be a Michigan man to coach Michigan? And he asks him to repeat the question. He's clearly not ready for it. So he then finally answers the question saying, well, I hope not. They hired me. Right there, you see, on day one, you have a problem. And the problem is you've got an outsider coming in to take over this program for the fourth time in a century. Now, the previous three were Fielding Yost, Fritz Kreisler, and Bo Schembechler, who are probably Michigan's three all-time greatest coaches, so it usually works. But for it to work, the transition has got to be understood.
So despite Rich Rodriguez's glowing resume, his great track record coming into Michigan, Michigan ends up finishing 3-9 in his first season. That is the team's worst record since 1961, the most losses in Michigan history. And then his second season is dominated by an NCAA investigation. Tell us what those violations were and how that investigation affected the football team.
Hottest coach in college football, the guy who invents the offense that almost every high school and college team in the country
uses. This is the spread,
The spread offense, right, which is a lot of fun to watch, very exciting. You combine him with the winningest program in college football, with the biggest stadium and all the tradition that goes with that, you think, what can go wrong? And the answer is everything. Whatever could have gone wrong went wrong. Players transferred, bad luck on injuries, very bad PR on almost all sides. We also learned since, by the way, this is the bigger shocker in the book, that the previous coach, Lloyd Carr, had reached out to Rich Rodriguez, called him first back in Morgantown, told Bill Martin, the AD, that you had to hire him. 6 days later, Rich Rodriguez is your head coach. The day after that, Lloyd Carr meets with his team and tells them if they want to transfer, he will sign all their forms. So here he is telling his players that you can transfer if you want, I'll sign the forms. So that gets very strange very quickly. Why are you so quickly turning against this coach? What's more damaging is not the four or five hotshots who did leave. Ryan Mallett goes to Arkansas. He's now in the NFL. Justin Bourne is an All-Big Ten player, goes to Ohio State of all places. The real problem is you've just told the rest of the team that stayed that this coach is not to be respected and he won't be here very long. And that's just what happened.
So he was undermined. So, he was undermined, essentially.
I can't think of another word for it. And at that point, you've got almost every force working against you, including, it turns out, the Detroit Free Press.
John Bacon, tell us about the NCAA investigation when Rodriguez was Michigan's coach. It was prompted by a story in the Detroit Free Press. What were they investigating?
What they're looking at is practice times, which in NCAA parlance, this is where the NCAA is this utterly Byzantine, ultimately irresponsible organization, sad to say. You are allowed to spend, in any sport, 20 hours per week during the season on your sport, 20, however, countable hours. What doesn't count? Pretty much everything other than practice and games. And even games only count 3 hours no matter what your sport. The Michigan softball coach, Carol Hutchins, who won a national title in 05, she told me that, hey, our players get there 3 hours before the game even starts. The whole thing is completely bogus. What doesn't count is travel time, team meals, and here's where it gets really funny, Sasha. Voluntary weightlifting, voluntary film sessions. Okay, define voluntary. If you want to start on the football team, guess what? You are doing a lot of voluntary weightlifting.
And the Detroit Free Press had a field day with this.
They did. This story ran for 14 months, basically. And they discovered, and it's true, Michigan football players, like most athletes, spend around 40 to 45 hours a week. This is the bogusness of the NCAA rules. And the Free Press exposed that. They had a great story they could have run with, which is the whole silliness of this bizarre rule that makes no sense and is utterly phony. But instead, they focused on Michigan's practice times, and in the entire 3,000-word article, they not once make the distinction between countable and uncountable hours. When I asked Michael Rosenberg, the lead writer on this, about this, he said, well, it was in the draft at some point, but then it fell out towards the end. It's tantamount to accusing General Motors of tax fraud without distinguishing between gross revenue and net profit. Ultimately, they did catch Michigan for going about 15 or 20 minutes over per week because they didn't realize that stretching did count. They thought it didn't count. So stretching counts, and now you're over, and that's what they got Michigan for after a 14-month investigation, costing around $1 million.
And in one case, the Detroit Free Press headline read, NCAA's verdict, Rodriguez ignored rules, UM gets more probation. Do you think that sealed his fate at Michigan?
It didn't seal his fate, but boy, it didn't help. This is a program that in 100 years had never had a hint, a whiff of probation or the NCAA on campus. So to Michigan fans, this matters a great deal. They'd rather, believe it or not, be second place and clean than Big Ten champions and get investigated. So in the Church of Michigan football, this is a mortal sin. It tarnished him greatly. It also, by the way, distracts the players immensely. They get investigated during the week of Michigan State game, which is huge, of course, in Ann Arbor. So they're getting pulled out of practice throughout the day. They don't know what the rules are. So they don't know if they're, you know, burying their program or they're lying or whatever. The whole thing becomes internal strife that Michigan had not had. The effects were quite strong.
John Bacon, I want to pull back the lens for a minute because so many things went wrong for Rich Rodriguez. Everything went wrong, in your view. Not only were there this investigation, the team didn't play well, they seemed to have a hard time adjusting to his new spread offense. I'm wondering how much you think this is Rodriguez's fault, how much he was doomed from the start because of negative outside forces, how much was just plain bad luck?
Yes. My answer is yes.
Everything.
Exactly, all the above. I break it down into four main pillars that all collapsed. One of them is the very odd search that before Rodriguez even shows up, you had a camp that wanted Les Miles of LSU. You wanted, who's a Michigan player and coach. You want a camp that wants Ron English from the current staff. You want a camp that wants somebody else. They're already at, you know, knives points before Rodriguez even shows up. So the Michigan family had already fractured. There's a problem. Second problem is people like Coach Carr undermining the program from the start. Third is the Free Press followed by the NCAA investigation about practice gate, if you will. But the fourth is Rodriguez, and not necessarily the fourth most important. It could be the most important. His public relations were often very bad. He handled press conferences shakily many times. And on top of all that, his defense went from 68th to 82nd out of 120 in the nation to 110. You can't spin that, and you can't win many games playing that kind of defense. Right now, with new coaching, the defense is currently ranked 17th overall in scoring. So you've gone from 110th to 17th in one season. That buried him.
What about this week's game, John Bacon? What is the mood in Ann Arbor as they prepare to play their arch rival Ohio State?
Hopeful with a tinge of fear, I would say. The Buckeyes have beaten Michigan 7 straight games. That's their longest streak in their history. Right now, Ohio State is 6-5. Michigan is 9-2. Things are looking good for the Wolverines. But it is Ohio State, so they're always a bit afraid of the Buckeye voodoo, if you will, getting into their heads. If they stay calm for a couple quarters, I'm sure Michigan is going to be fine.
There were so many casualties of the Rich Rodriguez debacle. Certainly Rodriguez himself, the school, and the team reputationally. But do you think there's an argument that it was the players who suffered the most?
Without question. The players get 4 years at this. 4 or 5 years, that's it. And that'll define a big part of you the rest of your life. One of the great quotes came from Ryan Van Bergen, the starting defensive lineman, when Angelique Shingalas of the Detroit News asked him at the spring game that all of a sudden all the alumni players came back in record numbers once Rodriguez was out and his new coach, Brady Hoke, was in, who had coached for Coach Carr. And she said, you know, how does it feel to have all these, you know, football alumni guys come back? And he says, hey, it's great, but, you know, it's kind of like, where have you been the last 3 years? We've been wearing the same helmet you guys wore. We are Michigan men. They worked as hard as any Michigan team in Michigan's history.
John, do you still talk to Rich Rodriguez?
I've not talked to him since the book went to press 4 months ago. I do talk to his mom via email and his sister-in-law, believe it or not, also via email, and they've been very kind to me, which I appreciate. I no longer talk to Coach Carr at all, and my press box seat has been moved. They tried to do a cease and desist order on the cover, which had no merit. I am persona non grata at Michigan.
John Bacon's book is Three and Out, Rich Rodriguez and the Michigan Wolverines in the Crucible of College Football. John, thanks so much for talking with us.
Sasha, thank you.